You're listening to Managing Leadership Anxiety, Yours and Theirs, a podcast offered in partnership with Missio Alliance. Each episode, we discuss internal and relational pressures, how they block effective leadership, and how we can move through them to a greater health. And now your host, Steve Cuss.
All right, friends. Hey, welcome to a fresh episode. You know, as many of my listeners know, sometimes I do a solo episode, sometimes I have a guest. Today's kind of a fun hybrid. Mrs. Cuss is here.
Hey, everyone.
So we'll be chatting about some key tools. Actually, I'm pretty excited about what we'll be sharing with you. But before we do, we are going to consider this a solo episode. So I'm going to hand over to Lisa to light our candle, which was brought to us by our friends Ed and Jane.
Ed and Jane from, I believe it's Sydney, Australia.
Mm-hmm. From Sydney.
So we are lighting the ivy and wood candle that's a combination of bergamot and banksia.
Banksia, very Australian tree.
Yeah,
good Aussie
you,
candle.
Jane and Ed. And we'll just notice the sound that it takes to light the candle. The flame that slowly grows. Just the reminder that God is with us as close as the air that we breathe, that we are not alone.
Okay. Well, here we are in late May, and I think this is as good a time as any to check in on life-giving habits. So for our listeners, how are you doing with your life-giving habits? We've done a couple of life-giving things lately. We scrubbed our dog's backside today.
Yes. I don't think that's life-giving. I think that might be life-draining.
Yeah.
It took all four of us. We have four cusses here right now. It took all of us to get that dog settled and down and do the deed.
Yeah, he doesn't appreciate his rear end being rummaged around in.
And I don't appreciate what he brings in if we don't.
Yeah, so, that's fair yes. too. And just for our listeners, Brody has joined us here in the podcast studio, so it's quite possible that we'll have to get up and let him out at some point. But we also caught a stand-up comedian this week, and laughter is on our life-giving list. And for me, at least, babe, it's specific. Like listening to stand-up comedy, I try to do that every day, but also, I don't mean to make you uncomfortable, but your belly laugh is on my life-giving list.
Oh my gosh, we went with friends to go see Nate Bargatze. And at Red Rocks, which the view alone is something else. Mm. But man, I don't think I've laughed that hard in ages. And to be with a community of people who are just, all you hear is raucous laughter, does something for the soul.
It was amazing. So just a challenge or an invitation for you guys. What we encourage is to do some life-giving habits every day. And they can only take 30 seconds to 2 minutes. I try to practice 12 to 15 habits a day if I can. And most days I get that done. And then the second thing we encourage you to do with life-giving habits is to calendar them, because some of them take money and time and planning. And even today, we were chatting about later today what we want to do as a family.
Yeah, just to get out and take in the beauty and move and, yeah, enjoy together.
All right. Hey, let's get right into the tool today. And this one I'm really excited about for a few reasons. You and I have been talking about this way of thinking for a while. Mm-hmm. And it's also what I've got. I've got like half a chapter on this in my next book. So I'm excited about that this will be coming out for us to consider. And what we're calling it is our precious belief versus our deepest core belief. Mm-hmm. One of the things I feel like I'm infamous for is I don't name my tools very tightly. More of a description really than a name.
But it's kind of become who you are.
It's kind of become part of my, shall we say, brand. So your precious belief versus your deepest core belief. The simple idea being that we have these deep core beliefs and we have these precious beliefs, and sometimes they're in competition with each other. Mm-hmm. I know in my case, because I grew up unchurched and I converted into Christianity, and then because I, like you did, Lisa, I went and did vocational study for ministry at a college level, at a master's level, 25 years of vocational ministry for Jesus, I just assumed that Jesus was my deepest, most core belief.
Yes.
And of course I would assume that. I've given my whole life to Jesus. And what I discovered a few years ago is, in fact, there are many times in my life where the way of Jesus is not my deepest, most core belief. It is, however, my most precious belief. Mm-hmm. It's what I value the most, but I lean on my other beliefs without sometimes realizing it.
Right, right. Because somehow it's ingrained in you. It reminds me that at some point, that's how we live life and we're okay. But we get into habits and assumptions and these beliefs that It's what we feel like we need or have to do in order to earn something.
Yeah. And so I spent most of my adult life struggling to believe that God loves me particularly. I believe very comfortably that God loves you and that God loves me generically. And what helped me to realize that is, oh man, I have these beliefs that are not true, that are superseding or blocking or getting in the way of the gospel of Jesus. And so I went on this journey. I know you've been on a similar journey. So I thought what would be helpful for our listeners is just to maybe share some of our, just a couple maybe of our own deepest core beliefs. But I guess before we share the specifics, I guess what they have in common is they are assumptions.
Right.
And they're also what we depend on whether we realize it or not.
Yeah, it's almost like a more common term is false beliefs.
Sure.
I think that people are probably more familiar with, which is great to name, but then if we don't look at the difference between what our false beliefs are and what the Lord is calling us to lean into or believe instead. I think for me, we've been talking about this, and I don't think I really thought about this until my early 40s. And it was the first time that I wrote my spiritual story, kind of life narrative through a spiritual lens. And one of my mentors, I was really struggling with it. And one of my mentors said, you know, how do you know that you know that you know in your core of who God is? And I was like, how do I know that I know that I know in my core? And it took me a long time to think about that. And I think for me, one of my core ones is that I have to do, and I'd say almost nearly perfectly, to be enough or have worth. And so that's something that I keep running into. And it worked, like, you know, as a child, it helps you really get out of there, get out of your shell. It helps you be a blessing to other people, and you get accolades for it. And it just reminded me that, man, those things we do as children is so great. We get accolades for, and then over time, maybe for me, it's how I felt like I had to be in order to be enough or okay.
Yeah. And I think for me, similarly, one of my, I mean, sometimes these deep beliefs can be very personal and vulnerable. And I also think sometimes they can be freakishly every day.
Right.
So for me, figure it out on your own. That would be a core belief of mine. Just figure it out on your own.
Yes.
So I'm just not prone to ask for help.
Yep.
I'm prone to not express need to somebody else.
Yep.
And on the one, it's interesting when you hear that, like there are some good attributes to figure it out on your own. I tend to be pretty proactive. And but then, of course, these core beliefs, they start to get in trouble when we compare them to the gospel. So what comes to my mind is, I believe I have to figure it out on my own. The Apostle Paul says, now we are the body of Christ and everyone.
Right.
And one of those feels like relief and the other one feels like pressure.
Yes.
So over time, you kind of learn to feel your core beliefs that are blocking the gospel.
Yeah.
Now, a deeper one for me would be that at my core for years, I didn't feel like I was worth loving. So I always had to perform or produce in order to be approved.
Mm-hmm.
And now that's a much more tender one or much more dangerous belief, I guess. So when we think about our core beliefs, I think what happens is because God is invisible, God's presence is just much less tangible to us than it was to many people in the Bible, or God's presence is sometimes less tangible than our core beliefs that got us through childhood or something like that. And I think that's why they're so entrenched.
Yeah, completely makes me think of, I think on a daily basis, another one that I work through is that if I do things right, I won't have conflict, you know?
Right.
And then that tags into so many things, right? The inner critic, or another one would be the shoulds and oughts, that just on a daily basis, oh, I should know better. I should have done it this way.
Yeah.
And then even just remembering that, yeah, that there's no promises, and God is there and community is there. Hard to remember.
Yeah. So one of the things that we're working up for people is, how do you identify a core belief, and then how do you measure it? And I'm going to just talk in this section about how you measure a core belief, because I have come to the conclusion that it helps us to look at that, that we don't believe a gospel, we believe a lot of gospels. Mm-hmm. And so if our core beliefs are gospels, the idea is, what if we were to recognize that there are many areas in our life where we don't believe in Jesus? And what if we were to recognize that in a way that's not shaming or condemning? Like, we don't say that to say, oh, you really should believe in Jesus more. It's more of an invitation to let the gospel of Jesus flow deeper into your life. Mm. And so these core beliefs, what we're going to encourage you to do, listeners, is think of these core beliefs as gospels that you put your faith and trust in. So when you were saying, Lisa, if I do it well enough, there won't be conflict, there's also a belief there about what conflict is.
Right, for example, or like, what it means.
Yeah, what it means about you, what it means about God, what it means about the world. Mm-hmm. And therefore, I have to do all these things in order to never have conflict, because conflict is blank.
Yeah. It's interesting to think through that. I think for me, conflict means rejection and abandonment.
Yeah.
And so if I can avoid that at all costs, then I'm going to be okay. And you're right, leaning into that. What do I believe about myself, that if I have this, then I'm going to be alone?
Yeah.
And it's really not true.
Yeah. And for me, love is connected to productivity. Mm-hmm. So it's hard for me to not, to just sit around, for example. I just tend to want to do.
Yeah.
And so we can hear, as you're listening to these guys, you can hear like Lisa's thoughts and assumptions around conflict, my thoughts and assumptions around love. Mm-hmm. And the fact is they're not true. What's interesting is so often we can hear the false belief in another person and not always hear it in ourselves. It's hard to find your own assumptions, I guess.
Yeah. It's really hard. And I think I like what you were saying too about there's an invitation when we look at our precious belief. Mm. If God is always with us, then there is an invitation for something there. There's an invitation that we don't have to be alone, or there's an invitation that we don't have to overdo to be loved. There's a place to rest. There's a security. That's good.
Yeah. Yeah. So a couple of things here, folks, is what you can do, and oftentimes you need a group to do this with, is you can actually map out your core beliefs through three things. And I'm really sorry, they all start with the letter P. We're heading back to 1990s preaching here. Every belief has a path that it puts you on. That's the first P. The second P is a promise that it's offering at the end of the path. So every belief you have puts you on a path that says you have to do this thing, and then it offers a promise. But the promise, it dangles like a carrot at the end of the path. It's like you have to do this thing, and then you will get this thing. And then the other P, the final P, is payment. So every gospel or every belief we have has a path, a promise, and a payment. And this is where we have really discovered how quickly it can clarify the gospel of Jesus versus the gospel of our false beliefs or our core beliefs.
Yeah.
So for me, I'm also prone to conflict avoiding because I believe if I speak my mind, I will lose the relationship. Therefore, I have to withhold what I really think to get the promise of what I think is a true relationship, which is really a false relationship. Mm-hmm. And what gets really interesting is I'm always paying in that scenario.
You're always withholding and not sharing.
Yeah, or worrying or overthinking. I'm certainly not being my full self. And then what we teach in this is out of every gospel ever, there's only one gospel where the God does the paying and the human gets the benefits. So the other thing we teach is if you think of your false core beliefs like a God, then it helps you to realize how much you're paying to appease the gods. So we kind of use like ancient Near East language when we talk about the Egyptian god system, the Roman Empire god system. One of the things we're suggesting is that your core beliefs about yourself, about conflict, love, acceptance, mm-hmm. is also a form of a god.
Yes.
And it's making you pay.
Yes. Yeah.
I wonder if you'd be willing to share some ways that you pay when you're out of conflict or struggling with that.
Mm. Definitely I pay by worrying. I live in an anxious state, so my body pays. Mm. Like I feel when I'm in conflict and I don't know how long it's going to last or what the end will look like, my gut hurts. Sometimes yeah. I can't eat or just feel sick. I can't be present with other people. And then because, it's taking over. Yeah. So then it just perpetuates the cycle of feeling alone, Mm. I think both with emotional energy and physical energy, I pay by being drained.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then the other idea we have for everyone, guys, is that the promise, it's like you never get it.
Yeah.
So like whatever your belief says you will get, I know in my case, it never shows up. So I'm usually promised peace or acceptance or something like that. Mm-hmm. Or even if I get it, it's really fleeting.
Right.
So maybe I produced well and someone patted me on the head and then I wake up the next day.
Yes. And there's still something else.
Yeah. There's more.
Yeah.
And so we encourage folks to relax into the presence of God by letting your precious belief flood in and infuse and infect your core false beliefs.
Yeah. Yeah. That's really good. I think one of the tools that I would do really tags on to that, and that just spending some time being able to think of a time when you were able to relax into the presence of God. And it can usually be divided into three categories. It's like, who were you with? Some of us relax in the presence of God on our own, and that's where, that's what we need, to refine it. Some of us need to find it in somebody else. I mean, I'm aware as we talk about all of this that for our listeners, maybe not everybody immediately finds relaxation and peace in the presence of God, that sometimes for some of our listeners, it could be that some of the harm that's been done to them might have been done in the name of God,
It's a really interesting idea. You're suggesting, or I think you're giving us permission to say that you might feel safer around a human than just with God, and that's okay.
Yes. And by safe, of course, we mean feeling seen, feeling heard, being able to be refilled and refueled so that we can go out and be who we are, it's interesting that either it usually takes place either with God, with a person, or in a place type thing, or with an activity in a place. And that if in the moment when you're realizing, man, I am the opposite of peace and relaxation, but really more peace in myself and in who God is, that maybe I need to go to somebody else and that can help bridge, the peace I find with somebody else can help bridge and connect me more with God. Or maybe there's a place that you need to go first and that will remind you that I can let my guard down and God is there. Mm. And so with that tool, it's like if you can remember a time that you felt that way, it's noticing, it's in pausing in that. And a lot of us have an image of what that looks like. So for me growing up, I loved summer camp. And there was a specific log at summer camp that we had that overlooked just kind of this vast prairie. And I would go sit there, and I know the feeling of it, on my bum. And I can see like the beauty out there. Camp was a thin place to me where I felt very connected to God. And it's a place where I have just envisioned that Jesus would come sit beside me and look at me in my eyes and say, how are you doing? And it felt really connecting. So when I can bring back that place, it brings a calm, over my whole body and a sense of, whew, he is here. And this that I'm worried about is still there, but I'm not in it alone.
Hmm. Yeah. So we're talking about two related things here, guys. We're talking about learning to analyze your beliefs so they go from subconscious to overtly known.
Mm-hmm.
And one simple way to analyze them is try to figure out what path does my belief have me on? What is it telling me I must do or be to be okay?
Yeah.
And then try to get clear on what promise is it offering and is it paying off on the promise? Is it good for its word, or is it lying to you, which a lot of my beliefs do? And then the third part of that is, okay, who's paying here? Mm-hmm. Because I'm always paying for the sake of my belief, but when I relax into God's presence, for example, when it relates to love, I am beloved. Mm-hmm. Therefore, I'm free to produce or not produce, mm-hmm. but it doesn't taint whether I'm loved or not. One of those feels like freedom, then one of those feels like condemnation or exhaustion.
Yes, and what you're saying is it's a difference between just thinking it in the brain and then embodying it.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm trying to let the gospel into my corpuscles, so to speak, into every fabric of my being. Yeah. And then, Lisa, what you're encouraging us to do is to actively locate the people and the places and activities where we feel connected to God. I think it's fascinating that that might be first with humans before solitude. For some people, solitude is wonderful, and for some it's overrated or it's worse. I remember, because I used to go on these solitude retreats when I was a lead pastor. If you remember, I'd get away and study. And I remember pushing one of our staff members to do that. And he has quite a harsh inner critic. And for him, solitude was just him and his inner critic condemning him. Like, it was terrible.
Yes.
And so that really gets to your point.
Yes, yeah, so that what works for one doesn't automatically work for the other person, and that it's important for us to find... Yes, how do we get back? I mean, God created us to be connected to one another and to Him. Mm-hmm. And so if there's an avenue of place, of people, or of God, and sometimes all three of those combine in a very beautiful way, where we can embody this precious belief that it's not just something that exists in our head, but it's something that we feel in our core.
We're flooded with it.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay, before we kind of take a little musical interlude for folks just to have a think about this, I love the way you talk about being safe, walking into a room, our radar is up. Mm-hmm. Just give us a little taste of what that's like, because as we're chatting, I feel like that's connected to all this.
Yeah. Yeah, that for all of us, you know, we have this amygdala and just this whole part of our brain that is constantly on guard, that is, we don't even realize it's happening, but it's checking to see if we are safe enough to show up as who we are in any setting. So when you walk into your church, you know, you're actually at work figuring out from people's expressions, from the music that's playing, from the smells that are there, from what you did yesterday, and then here you are in a church building, like, am I safe enough to be me and who I am, or do I need to hide, or do I need to only show part of myself or maybe act differently, right? It happens when you go to the grocery store for teens, for kids. It happens as soon as you walk into that school building, right? And it's constantly a radar going on. And so when we see in the expression of somebody else a sense of joy, like it's almost like we're constantly looking for somebody else who's looking for us. You know, it's just part of how we don't even realize it's happening. So when we see in somebody else a sense of being known, like even for our junk and okay, when we sense laughter around us that we can join in on, for some people, beauty, you know, really does that as well. That there's something that happens in our body to where we can relax into the truth that we are connected. We can connect with our self. That means we can think and feel, you know. We can feel connected in relationship. And then we can also more easily have a sense that God is with us and we can look at our connection with God.
Yeah. As well. So just say that sentence again. We're looking for...
You know what? I feel like that's somebody else has said that. I don't know who. So credit to somebody that we... How is that? We live our lives looking for someone who's looking for us. I believe Kurt Thompson
said that. I think that is a Kurt Thompson quote. Yep. I think it's in my next book. I think I've got a chapter title where it's something like that.
Yes.
So we're looking for someone who's looking for us. That's fundamentally what we're talking about with precious belief versus core deepest belief.
Yep.
Is our core deepest beliefs, they're well-meaning, but they're trying to protect us from vulnerability and harm. Mm-hmm. And they also, therefore, unintentionally block us from the God that is looking for us, right? Like that's what I think of when I think of that, is the reason we do this work is so that we can actually be vulnerable and exposed in God's presence.
Yes.
Look for God, discover that God's been looking for us, relax into the grace of God. Okay, folks. Hey, coming up October 2nd through 4th, both here in Thornton, Colorado, but also live streaming and on demand, we are hosting the Unlocking Faith Conference. And the whole point of the conference is everything we just talked about. It's all about unlocking these core, false, deepest beliefs that we may not even know we have. Some of them are conscious, some are subconscious, and giving you some keys to unlock those beliefs so that the good news of Jesus can flood deeper into your life. We've been excited about this conference for a while, and it's pretty wild, Lisa, because on our personal life, we've had so much going on that we're just now talking about it more actively, this conference, but we're flying in a guest speaker. Tell us about our guest speaker.
Yeah, so we're having Chuck DeGroat come in and join us. He'll be giving us a keynote. I think my favorite thing about Chuck is that he can vulnerably talk about the hard to the point where someone can deeply connect and find their own story and then just open you right up to the unbelievable grace and love of God. He's done so much work on narcissism in the church, is, you know, seasoned believer in his own story from trauma and loss and then resting in who God is and what that looks like very tangibly on a day-to-day basis.
He's also a parts of self guy. I think I found him on Twitter, but you had already known about him when I found him on Twitter and you're like, oh, Chuck DeGroat, parts of self.
Yeah. So Chuck also does internal family systems, which looks at those parts of us that show up that so helped us survive and be okay at one point in our life. And then now are just don't know that they can relinquish and that we have other tools and resources or that we're older and end up just getting in our way from, you know, being able to grasp onto these precious beliefs.
Outstanding. So we have Dr. Chuck DeGroat coming. Lisa is also speaking.
Yeah.
A couple of therapists. We've actually got three therapists coming to speak.
We do,
at
don't
this
we?
One
yeah.
With Jill Gullihorn Phillips.
Yes. Marriage and family therapist.
Marriage and family therapist, yeah. But Chuck and Lisa will both be bringing themes around trauma, attachment, and parts of self, all designed to help you unlock a core belief and let a precious belief flood in. Yeah. I'll be speaking as well. I'll be really laying out the nature of beliefs, how they operate, and just how to locate them, because that can be tricky to do, is how do you actually locate them? Mm-hmm. But we also have Jill and Andy Gullihorn. Some people know Jill by her maiden name, Jill Phillips, because before she was a therapist, she was this phenomenal singer-songwriter.
Yes. Yes. I think my favorite song of hers is I Am.
Oh, man.
Yeah. Brings me to tears it's every time.
Great song.
Yep.
And Andy Gullihorn, also a singer-songwriter. Yes. They happen to be, this is one of the fun things of running a conference, you get to bring in
the people you love.
Yes. And Andy and Jill are two of my all-time favorite singer-songwriter vocalists.
Yeah.
They sing together, they write separately, they write together.
Yeah.
But also, they'll be bringing a lot of music for us. We really think that beauty and music is a huge piece of a conference. We think fun is really important, playfulness.
Andy will bring the laughter.
Yeah, Andy is hilarious. But these guys also, they'll be putting down their guitars and they'll also be sitting on a panel because they have a huge depth in Enneagram, recovery, marriage and family therapy. So Jill and Andy will be speaking. And then we have a couple of people that probably most people don't know about, but we know really well. These are dear friends and Capable Life trainers. Tell us about Renee Loring.
Yeah, so Renee Loring is a dear friend of ours and has been on staff at church with us at Discovery for years.
Yeah, like 15 years or something.
Yeah,
she's old.
She is training as a spiritual director and also is going back to school for social work as well. And just a powerhouse in grit, resilience, walking the hard, and continuing on the journey of finding out the truth of who God is, and what that means for us.
Yeah, Renee and our other speaker, Jimmy Carnes, these are two of our Capable Life trainers. So yes. Some of you, if you've ever hired a coach from us, you may have met them already. Mm-hmm. If you're members of Capable Life, you probably know Renee. Yep. Sometimes when Renee, because Renee hosts a monthly Zoom on Capable Life for our members, and occasionally she's out of town and I'll jump in and host. And I've had several of the people say, we kind of prefer Renee. Like, yes. No offense, but we like Renee.
Yeah.
Because what Renee and Jimmy Carnes have both done is they've taken these tools and they've really in many ways improved them or put their own spin on them. And I love the way Renee teaches differentiation of self,
mm-hmm.
but also her attunement to spiritual direction. That's really what she's going to bring that is unique to Renee. Yeah. And Jimmy Carnes has done, I think, unique work in Enneagram and the way we orient toward God.
Yes.
And the way we see God orienting toward us.
Yes.
So Jimmy will be bringing some Enneagram lenses to help you unlock if you already know your Enneagram number, but even if you don't, he can help you with that. But just really understanding how does my posture to God help and hurt my precious belief in God?
Absolutely. And when I think of that with Jimmy too, I mean, he does it with such invitation he knows how crushing shame can be, you know, when we look at these things. And so, it just comes with this grace and truth.
Yeah. Yeah, we just hosted an intensive in our house last week. We had 8 people flying in from around the world, actually.
Yeah.
Shout out to Ed and Jane and Roger, who came all the way from Australia.
All the way,
amazing. And we should also shout out to Zach, who made it all the way from Kentucky. Yes. Another foreign country, Zach.
And brought the y'all.
Yeah.
Y'all. I found myself saying y'all a whole lot more this week. Yeah.
But we worked closely with Jimmy that week and just got to see again up close, you know, his insight and his kindness that pours out.
And his clarity.
Yeah, right.
Yep.
So Unlocking Faith Conference, you can find it on stevekuswoods.com. You can find it on capablelife.me. We are in the early bird ticket season and it ends June 30th. Prices go up June 30th. We have a handful of seats here in Colorado. So you might want to fly in and join us in person. That's from Monday morning till Wednesday at noon. Or you might want to join us by live streaming from wherever you are. We have 2 live streaming options for individuals. You can live stream, but also we've got a number of churches that are choosing to host this conference so they can buy a site license and fill their auditorium. And we've got professional live streamers running this whole thing. And then, of course, for many of you, you can't join us live, but you can buy the live stream ticket, and that allows you to get all those videos on demand. Mm-hmm. It'd take us a couple of weeks probably to edit and get them uploaded. But once they are,
watch it at your own pace.
Watch it at your own pace and in your own time. For those of you joining us in person, you do actually get a discount on if you want to add the videos with the package. Mm-hmm. So October 2nd through 4th, we have pushed back the early bird rate just because of some things going on in our life and the international travel and some family challenges we've had. But June 30th, that's when early bird ends. So if you're thinking about coming or if you've got some friends who are interested, now's the time to do that.
Yeah.
Any final thoughts on that conference?
Just that we're super excited. And it's our first one to do like this. And with that comes, for that one, So with that comes an excitement and anticipation.
And some nervousness because we did a conference on managing leadership anxiety in 2020. For those of you who know your recent history, March 2020, mm-hmm. and then we shut down the world.
Yes. So what will happen this time? Yeah. Who knows?
Yeah. So, hey, stevekuswoods.com or capablelife.me is where you can get tickets. Let us know. Lisa, thanks for joining me on a solo episode. Yeah, this was great.
It's fun to be here.
For more resources, visit stevekuswoods.com or missyoualliance.org.